Hi, everyone. Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. You know by now that the mission in my work is to empower people to make informed food choices, to debunk myths about veganism, to be a voice for animals, and to give people the tools and resources they need to live according to their own values of compassion and kindness. As we enter the 13th year of Food for Thought podcast, which is an award-winning podcast, thanks to you, it won Veg News Magazine's awards again this year for Best Podcast. I thought it merited a rebroadcasting of some favorite episodes and some episodes that just merit re-listening. So you can always subscribe to Food for Thought. Please do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also subscribe to Animology, the spinoff podcast of Food for Thought. And of course, you can follow me on social media. The most active places you can find me is Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And because of you, this podcast is going on 13 years later. So I appreciate your support, the support of everyone who's a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGoudreau and help it go on for yet another year. And just keep in mind that inevitably, after all these years, some websites I may mention on the podcast episodes may be defunct. Certainly, I am not Compassionate Cooks anymore. You can just find my work at ColleenPatrickGoudreau.com or JoyfulVegan.com. When you hear me talk about CompassionateCooks.com, you can still go there, and I think it forwards to my website. But Compassionate Cooks is not the umbrella under which I work, and you can still find me. It doesn't matter. But just keep in mind that while some websites may be dated, the information itself is not. And so I give you this podcast episode of the award-winning Food for Thought podcast. Enjoy. This episode of Food for Thought is brought to you by the listeners of this podcast, and that means you. Thank you so much for valuing this podcast and keeping it going by supporting it at patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGoudreau. Today's topic is 10 Habits of Highly Effective Advocates. Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick Goudreau, and I'm your host. My work is dedicated to empowering people to live according to their own values of compassion and wellness. You can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, ColleenPatrickGoudreau.com, where you can get your free Joyful Vegan Starter Guide when you join the mailing list and lots of other goodies as well. Hello, everyone. I'm aware, even if you aren't, that I haven't produced a podcast in a few weeks, and it feels like forever. And it's only been a few weeks, and it's on my mind every day. Not only was I preparing for my talks at the National Animal Rights Conference and then traveling, I've also been spending really every waking moment writing a TED Talk. I'm working on a new book, a proposal for a new book, which entails writing sample chapters, which takes up a lot of time. It's a painstaking process. I've also been making short videos that are really reaching a lot of people, which is pretty remarkable. These short little videos, my homemade almond milk video has over 1 million views on Facebook, like 1.2 million views. A vegan Alfredo sauce has 90,000 views on Instagram, and there's many more. So make sure you're following me over on Instagram and Facebook, especially to see these little videos. So I've been creating TED content, video content, book content, content for live talks. So it's not like I've been idle, but still, I want to make sure I'm feeding you. And the support you provide through your donations and sponsorships make all of this work possible because I don't get paid for any of it. So thank you as my patrons, my supporters, my sponsors, you are making this happen. And then it occurred to me today that I can share some of what you make possible. I can share that with you. I thought since the majority of you wouldn't have been at the Animal Rights Conference to hear my presentations, thought, why don't I bring the presentation to you, especially the one called 10 Habits of Highly Effective Advocates? You may have heard some of the content sprinkled throughout the podcast over, you know, these 10 years. Some of the content you may have heard before, but I think you'll appreciate hearing it as one presentation. And remember, supporters receive the written transcript, so look for it in your account over at Patreon. And because I don't want to interrupt the flow, I just want to read it through. I want to thank all of you first before we begin, because I'm not going to stop in the middle. So thank all of you listeners. Thank you to those who subscribe to this podcast, and thank you to all of the supporters. Thank you to our platinum supporters, Tim Anderson, Jennifer and Ben Ellis, Sylvie, Raquel, Valentina Zenkel, Ulrich, Renee Marinkovich, David Cabrera, Alexander Gray, Mikhail Stone, and Toswell. Thank you all. You're incredibly, incredibly generous. And thank you to our new platinum supporters. We have Gwen Mayo, who has been a longtime gold supporter who upgraded to platinum. Thank you, Gwen. And to double platinum supporter, Katie Schleif. Katie, I am so grateful for your generous support, and I hope to hear from you because I received your incredible contribution. Katie is a double platinum supporter at $200 a month, and I haven't heard anything from you. So hopefully you've received our thank you email and the goodies that come with it. And last but not least, I want to thank the very special sponsor of today's episode, Jeff Friedman, whose sponsorship is a gift to his wife, Jeannie. Jeannie, this is for you. Jeff wrote, "Thank you for the opportunity to support your podcast with a donation in honor of my wife, Jeannie. Jeannie started us on our vegan journey 5.5 years ago for health reasons, but the benefits have been far greater than just improved health. We are eating a larger variety of better tasting food. And once I stopped eating meat, I ended the disconnect between my actions and my beliefs about compassion for living beings and saving the environment for the future. Thank you, Colleen, for all you do. And thank you, Jeannie, for all you do for me. And happy anniversary." Happy anniversary, Jeff and Jeannie. I'm getting weepy. So beautiful. So incredible. You give me profound and lasting hope for the world, and I'm so grateful to you for that. Thank you, and thank you to everyone who values this work. If you do, please visit patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau to become a supporter today. One of the reasons I was compelled to share this talk with you is because of the infighting I keep hearing about within the vegan and animal advocacy movements. I say hear about because, truthfully, I really stay out of this as much as possible, but I am shocked and stunned to hear about what goes on and what people say. I know shocked probably sounds like hyperbole, but I'd rather still believe the best that's in people and be surprised when they demonstrate otherwise, which is why I'm shocked, than to be cynical and just expect people to be jerks. So I'm shocked when I hear about the things that people say about other organizations or individuals or activists. And one thing I'm also kind of amazed about, maybe you're all familiar with this, because I'm sure it happens all the time just in the YouTube community, is the prevalence of videos on YouTube where different YouTubers talk about other YouTubers in these kind of back and forth reaction videos. I've spent a few seconds witnessing this, and I won't spend any more time than that, because I think it's so ugly. I'm not going to waste my time doing it, but I've spent enough time to see what's going on. And though I haven't seen many, I'm certain that it's safe to say this is a characteristic of the internet and YouTube, not just vegans and animal advocates, but still, it's kind of amazing to me. Expression, free expression is of course a good thing, but I wonder, at the expense of integrity and advocacy, I really wonder which is most important. Freedom of expression or integrity and effective advocacy, or at least what's the best way to spend our time. So that's something I think about a lot. And so I realized when I was going to share this talk with you that I left out a very important habit of highly effective advocates, what I think is a very important habit, in my opinion, and that's to stay focused on what your mission is, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. But this infighting and complaining and finger-pointing and accusations, I can't help but think some folks have lost their way. You can't possibly be focused on your own mission when you're insisting that everyone else's mission is wrong. So I will start there, and I'm going to rewrite this talk at some point, but I will start there and say highly effective advocates create, because of course, creating a mission is really important. It's really helpful. And they stay focused on that mission, on their vision. It might morph over time. It might evolve over time. But staying focused is key to being effective. And now I'll continue with the 10. Enjoy. Okay, so you've heard this before. I'm going to start with my mission. The mission in the work I do is to empower people to make informed food choices, to be a voice for animals, and to give people the tools and resources they need to live according to their own values of compassion and wellness. My mission is also to inspire advocates to be the best they can be, the most joyful, the most effective, most articulate ambassadors of compassion, to help stop non-human animals from being systematically used, violated, and killed. My mission is to do everything I can to help us shift from the commonly held paradigm that sees non-human animals as ours to do with whatever we please, to one that sees animals as ours to share this planet with, not as subjects of ours, but as cohabitants who deserve to be regarded as autonomous beings who have the right to their own lives, their own bodies, their own offspring, and their own self-determination. I've had the pleasure and privilege of witnessing and guiding thousands of people to experience this paradigm shift and manifest their deepest values in their daily behavior, i.e. become vegan. And yet, I've never set out to recruit people to the vegan club, which is often how it's perceived and characterized by vegans and non-vegans alike, as if becoming vegan is some goal to attain, some club to join, some milestone to reach, some badge to wear. Highly effective advocates know it's not. Hence the number one habit of highly effective advocates. They know, they convey that being vegan is a means to an end and not an end in itself. Effective advocates know that being vegan is the means to the goal and that the goal is unconditional compassion and optimal wellness, integrating all aspects of what that implies: physical wellness, spiritual wellness, emotional and mental wellness. The goal is to live in such a way that doesn't intentionally cause harm. The goal is to live according to compassion. The goal is not to live according to veganism. That would imply that there are rules and doctrines to live by. And to me, that misses the entire point of what being vegan is all about. When you think being vegan is the end goal, the badge, the destination, you get hung up on trying to be perfect or trying to achieve a state of purity. You feel guilty. You feel overwhelmed. You feel judged for not doing it right or for not being perfect. You're told that you're not a real vegan because you eat peanut butter made on equipment that was touched by dairy products. You just wait for the self-appointed vegan police to come knocking on your door to take away your vegan status. Let's be clear. There is no such thing as a licensed, certified vegan. Not one person listening to this podcast is a certified vegan. Not one person in the room of any animal rights conference or vegan conference. Nobody is a certified vegan. There is no such thing. And if perfection and purity are what you're trying to attain in a world that is by its nature imperfect, then I'm afraid you'll be gravely disappointed. Compassion is the goal. Veganism is the way to get there. If we forget this, not only do we miss the entire point of what it means to be vegan, we will also lead a frustrating existence filled with anger and judgment. The problems animals face in this world aren't because of those people who strive to do the right thing but come up short through no fault of their own. The problem lies with those who do nothing at all, or those who do nothing at all because they think they have to do everything perfectly from the start. People do nothing when they think they have to do everything, which is completely self-defeatist and does nothing to help the animals. Highly effective advocates understand that perfection is the enemy of the good. Now, I don't know about you. You've heard me say this before, but I didn't look at this thing called vegan and say, now that's a club I want to join. It's going to cause disharmony in my family. It's going to separate me from the status quo. It's going to make me feel like an outsider at times. It's going to make me the butt of predictable jokes. It's going to make me the target of passive-aggressive quips, limit my purchasing options, and compel me to become an expert in nutrition, history, philosophy, world religions, anthropology, animal husbandry, ecology, and the culinary arts, but whatever, sign me up. Rather, there was a pivotal moment in which I realized that my actions weren't in alignment with my values. That once I became awakened to the realities of the violence that I was contributing to, my instinctive response was to stop contributing to that violence, the violence being committed on my behalf, i.e., I became vegan. I reflected my ethics in my actions. I removed the blocks to the compassion that was already deep inside of me, which leads me to the second habit of highly effective advocates. Highly effective advocates recognize and truly believe that non-vegans are compassionate. They're just not manifesting their compassion in their behavior. But I've seen too many vegans write non-vegans off as cruel and insensitive, and I don't think that's the whole truth about people. I don't believe people wake up in the morning trying to figure out how they can contribute to violence that day. I don't believe that's how it works. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't sadists out there doing unspeakable things to animals, human and non-human. But the majority of people mindlessly contributing to violence against animals are doing so mostly out of ignorance and conditioning, not sadism and blatant cruelty. I think the truth is people are so sensitive that they don't want to believe that they're contributing to harm or violence against animals. And so they choose the easier route, ritualizing, rationalizing, and romanticizing their consumption of animals rather than experience the self-reflection and openness required to change your worldview and change your habits. We humans have a great capacity to compartmentalize our emotions and support things we would never participate in directly, and then justify our behavior so we can sleep well at night. I know I did, but that doesn't mean the compassion isn't there. Before I became vegan, I was a compassionate person, but my compassion was blocked. Highly effective advocates know the compassion is there in the non-vegans we encounter. It's asleep, it's hidden, it's blocked, but it's there. It's blocked because of all the stories we tell ourselves and the stories we're told about the necessity of eating and using animals. We live in a culture that doesn't support us making the most compassionate choices. We live in a world that in many ways embraces animal exploitation and abuse and looks with suspicion and in some cases, hostility upon those who oppose these things. We live in a world that tells us that compassion in children is sweet and desirable, whereas compassion in adults is sentimental, that there's no room for it in this dog-eat-dog world, that it's for suckers, that it's for sissies, as if compassion is the problem. What I know for sure is that the problems we face in our world are not because we have so much compassion we don't know what to do with it. The problems we have in this world are because people aren't living according to their own values of compassion and kindness. Highly effective advocates know this and seek to guide people to their own compassion. But they also seek to be compassionate themselves. The idea that only non-vegans compartmentalize their compassion is a false one. We're all taught to compartmentalize our compassion and reserve it for only a select few, mostly for those who look like us, who live like us, who believe like us, behave like us, and sound like us, doling it out as one would limited, scarce rations, as if exercising it fully and authentically would deplete us of it or waste it on the wrong people, quote unquote. And so we actually wind up rationing our compassion, and we all do it, even we vegans. We all decide who's worthy of our compassion and who it should be withheld from, who deserves it and who should be denied it based on who they are or what they do or what they've done in the past, using righteousness and ironically, compassion as justification for intolerance. And so we make it conditional, pulling it out when someone meets our criteria of someone who deserves our compassion. And we wonder why the world is in the state it's in. Highly effective advocates know that as ambassadors of compassion, we need to raise the bar and give people the benefit of the doubt, expecting the best that's in them, realizing that when we do so, people rise to that expectation. When we speak to the highest in people, people respond with the highest that's in them. It's remarkable, and I see it every single day. Highly effective advocates know that the person they're speaking to is a compassionate person, and it's that compassion they speak to directly. Choosing the perspective that sees people as asleep rather than evil makes us better advocates, makes us better voices for those who have no voice. And part of the reason for that is because highly effective advocates remember that they too were once unaware of the atrocities they were contributing to. And that brings us to the third habit of highly effective advocates. They're humble. They remember their own story. It's imperative for those of us who've already become awake to remember where we came from, to remember that we too were once asleep. Perhaps we made stupid jokes. Perhaps we said silly things and defended our behavior. Perhaps we said, I'll never be vegan. Perhaps we made fun of vegans. The point is, if we remember our own story, we'll be less inclined to be self-righteous when we encounter people who are not where we're at. In forgetting our own stories, our own process, we lose our humility. And in doing so, we risk becoming arrogant and self-righteous. Not a great formula for remaining joyful or demonstrating compassion or attracting people to a compassionate way of life. Highly effective advocates are humble. We know we're no better than anyone else for being vegan, but we know we're better than who we used to be. One of the easiest ways to remember our own story is by practicing the fourth habit of highly effective advocates, which is to find common ground. Highly effective advocates make connections rather than create separations. Highly effective advocates find common ground with people who may, on the face of it, seem like the enemy or the opposition. They find common ground and build from that common ground, choosing to stand together against violence rather than stand against one another. And that's a great strategy for dealing with disagreement in any relationship about any issue, but it's not easy to do because you have to be more willing to find resolution than you are eager to be right. You have to be more willing to solve the problem than you are anxious to win the argument. The question highly effective advocates ask themselves every single day, every moment when they're encountering someone is, do I want to be right? Or do I want to be effective? Highly effective advocates know that people are surprised and relieved to hear that vegans had a pre-vegan life. So a helpful response when people say things like, I love meat, I could never give up cheese, is, I did too. I loved meat. I didn't stop eating meat because I stopped liking the taste. I stopped eating it because I realized it was made of animals. Tortured and tormented animals. Not only will you be finding common ground with people, but you're also practicing habit number three. You're remembering and reinforcing your own story. Just saying to someone, I used to think the same thing. I totally understand. I can totally relate is incredibly effective and incredibly kind. If people find ways to identify with you, then they'll be more inclined to consider the changes they need to make themselves. Highly effective advocates understand that creating common ground is all about communication. In fact, the word communicate is built from the word common. It literally means shared by all. And I love that because this issue is not me against you, vegan against non-vegan, my moral superiority over your moral superiority. It's about all of us being against violence and cruelty. That's a value shared by all. It's about all of us being for the dissemination of truthful, unbiased information about what makes us thrive and be healthy. That's a value shared by all. Ambassadors of compassion and highly effective advocates find that common ground and recognize that everyone's a hero in their own story. Approaching someone with the presumption that they too care, that they too are compassionate, means not only getting at the truth in general, but helping others tap into their own truth about themselves. From there, in agreement on common ground, you can only go up. Meeting someone on the common ground of compassion not only has the potential of awakening and heightening their own compassion for animals, it also has the potential to awaken and heighten our compassion for others, regardless of where they are on the continuum of wakefulness. Because highly effective advocates know that compassion is unconditional. The fifth habit in fact, of highly effective advocates. In other words, if I profess to be a compassionate person, it doesn't mean I get to be compassionate only to those I like or who agree with me. It means I have to strive to be compassionate toward everyone. That's the thing about compassion. It has to be equal opportunity, or it's not compassion. It's not authentic. It's easy to be compassionate towards like-minded people. The challenge is choosing to have compassion towards those with whom I disagree. Compassion isn't compassion unless it's felt for everyone, the guilty and the non-guilty, the kind and the unkind, the good and the evil. Authentic compassion is showing compassion for those who are unlike me or who disagree with me. And yes, authentic compassion means having compassion even for those who are not compassionate. But know this, practicing unconditional compassion does not mean you're a martyr or a doormat. It doesn't mean you accept rude behavior, betrayal, violations, systemic injustices, downright cruelty, and personal and criminal offenses. But it also doesn't mean that we're justified in adopting these same behaviors and thoughts, violence, cruelty, hatred. Being vegan is an amazing and beautiful, albeit sometimes painful, way to live. But as a vegan, I remain very human, and it takes vigilance and skill to learn to live in this world from my highest place with the most compassion I can muster. But it's a skill worth honing, because I recognize that the more compassion I give, the more that gets created in the world. The more compassion I withhold, the less there is. Likewise, the more violence, and that includes thoughts, I put out in the world, the more violence I create. The more violence I withhold, the less there is. We might feel justified in hating or resenting or judging people who support or commit violence against animals, from meat eaters to slaughterhouse workers to hunters. But in terms of efficacy, what purpose does it serve? We can put them in a box called awful or despicable or evil or monster and sundry other names that highlight our disgust. But the fact is, these people are anything but monsters. They are, in fact, quite human. Having a mindset and social support that condones killing animals is actually quite human. And if we see them as anomalies of human nature, we miss the opportunity to understand how to reach them. Seeing them as monsters enables us to write them off, and that's easy. Seeing them as human means we have to confront the very nature of who we are as human beings. We can't have compassion on our lips with hatred in our hearts for our own sake and for the sake of the animals. Highly effective advocates know the power of words, the power of communication. They know the power of language, both body language and verbal language, the sixth habit of highly effective advocates. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, I think you probably have, but sometimes as a vegan, or at least I will tell you as someone who is vegan, sometimes we get pushback. Sometimes we get hostile comments. Once in a while, you get defensive reactions. Sometimes you get passive aggressiveness, sometimes aggressiveness, occasionally stupid jokes, and always questions, questions, questions. If we don't think communication is a skill we need to learn, unless we want to hide ourselves away from society altogether, we're never going to shift the paradigm. Communicating effectively means finding our own voice and expressing ourselves, our desires, our needs, our wants, our values in a way that's productive, effective, truthful, and compassionate. It means knowing the difference between using words that provoke thought and words that provide shock. The former shifts paradigms. The latter exists for its own sake. Now, of course, learning to communicate is useful for everyone and for every area of our lives, not just as vegans or advocates. But understanding how to communicate as an advocate, as an ambassador of compassion, will not only make you a more effective spokesperson, it will also deepen your connection with yourself and others, because you're starting with the foundation. On the foundation, from the foundation, that this topic is a sensitive one in our society. It's a topic that makes people defensive, emotional, irrational, and fearful. Starting there, just having that awareness, just being sensitive to the stuff that comes up for people when you, the vegan, the animal advocate, shows up, is what separates the highly effective from the highly ineffective advocates. Because whether we like it or not, unless we want to stay in the vegan closet and never let our light shine, we're all ambassadors. Our audience is everyone we encounter. Whether we like it or not, if we're the vegan someone encounters, we represent all vegans. And it does feel like a lot of pressure, and it is a great responsibility, but it's also a great honor to be a voice for this abundant way of life, to be the vegan in the room who people come to with their questions, with their stories, with their fears and their hopes. What an honor to guide them to their own truth, to their own compassion, and to do so confidently and joyfully. Joyfully, because we have a sense of humor, the seventh habit of highly effective advocates. They know you can lighten up even the most intense information by adding some levity, by changing the tone of your voice, or by laughing or smiling. If we have a sense of humor, it shows that we can take these issues very seriously, but not so seriously that we don't know when to laugh or be playful or even inoffensively snarky. And that joy and sense of humor will be reflected back to them, making this way of living a lot more attractive. Highly effective advocates don't take everything so personally. The eighth habit. They know where they end and another person begins. Even if people do seem passive aggressive or make snide comments or stupid jokes, highly effective advocates know that they're not directed at them, but are rather age-old defense mechanisms. Highly effective advocates know the power they hold as the vegan in the room and know that as such, we hold a mirror up to one another. And in that mirror is often a reflection that holds an image of something that needs to be examined, but is very threatening. It's rare for someone to have a mirror held up for them and say, thank you very much for reflecting back to me my fears and insecurities. I'm going to go work on them right away. Rather, to protect themselves, they deflect back to you what they don't want to see. And they often get defensive and passive aggressive. We all do it. We do it in our everyday lives. If we can understand that this type of reaction related to veganism has nothing to do with us, not only will it sting less, but we may find that we have sympathy and compassion rather than judgment for that person. We may find that the compassion we strive to live by can be directed towards someone whose discomfort and fears of their own vulnerability are so great as to keep them guarded and blocked. Highly effective advocates know what's theirs and what's not theirs. They know they can ask for what they want and show up fully as the joyful vegans they are without worrying about whether or not who they are and what they believe are going to rock someone else's boat. They know what a mess they'd be if their beliefs and identity were determined by how they would make other people react. In other words, if my being vegan for the animals does make someone uncomfortable, that's not mine. Whatever someone does with my values is not mine to worry about. Now, that doesn't mean it gives us license to be demanding or rude or ungracious, but it does mean that we need to speak our truth without being overly apologetic and self-effacing and without being attached to what that truth will do to other people. That's because highly effective advocates practice the ninth habit. They plant seeds and remain unattached to how and when and if those seeds germinate. I started off by telling you my mission, and you hear it every time you listen to this podcast. And as you heard, my mission is not to make people vegan or change others' minds. If those were my intentions, I would fail every single time. It's not in my power to make anyone do anything. All I can do is speak the truth and trust that it will inspire others to act on their own values. That's why I don't ever say I convert people or recruit people. I inspire and empower. I never set out to convert anyone. Whenever I set out to do my work, whether I'm writing an article or writing a book or speaking to a group or speaking to someone one-on-one, in my mind, I make sure I'm clear about my intention. And my intention is this: to raise awareness about violence against animals, to be their voice, and to speak my truth. That's it. I believe intention is everything, and people individually and collectively are smart enough to see right through you if you appear false to them, if you appear to have a hidden agenda. In other words, if you're saying one thing, but you really mean another. Having a clear intention about your goal and making that goal about truth rather than outcome will make you a successful, effective advocate 100% of the time. I believe we're here to be teachers to one another, and I'm grateful for my role as a conduit, but that's all any of us are. And that there are so many of us, there's so much opportunity to be conduits of compassion. And that's what gives me hope. The 10th habit of highly effective advocates, they have hope. I honestly could not do this work or consider myself an effective advocate or call myself a joyful vegan if I didn't have hope, or rather, if I didn't choose to dwell in hope. It is such an honor and privilege to witness people's transformations. And what I know for sure is that people are making changes all the time to live healthier and more compassionate lives. Because of this awareness, I have hope. What I know for sure is that veganism, i.e. living compassionately and healthfully, is more mainstream than ever before. Because of this awareness and my focus on that awareness, I have hope. What I know for sure is that more people, and not just vegans, are speaking up on behalf of animals, on behalf of truth, more than ever before. Because of this awareness, because of my focus on this awareness, I have hope. My hope is that we embrace our unconditional compassion and express it unapologetically and at full throttle and expect others to do the same. And though the problem isn't that people wake up in the morning trying to figure out how they can contribute to violence and suffering, the problem is that we don't wake up in the morning wanting to create as much compassion, as much peace and nonviolence as possible. If they were on our to-do list every day, imagine what we could accomplish. Imagine what our world would be like. My hope is that our daily choices be a reflection of our deepest values, and that we use our voices to speak for those who need us most, those who have no voice, those who have no choice. It's up to each one of us to create the compassionate world we say we want to live in. And as ambassadors for compassion, as highly effective advocates, we can make this happen. And this too is my hope. My hope is that we can all navigate through this world with the grace and integrity of those for whom we speak. May we have the sense of humor and liveliness of the goats. May we have the maternal instincts and protective nature of the hens and the sassiness of the roosters. May we have the gentleness and strength of the cattle, the wisdom, serenity, and humility of the donkeys. May we appreciate the need for community as do the sheep, and choose our companions as carefully as do the rabbits. May we have the faithfulness and commitment to family of the geese, the adaptability and affability of the ducks. May we have the intelligence, loyalty, and affection of the pigs, the inquisitiveness, sensitivity, and playfulness of the turkeys. My hope is that we learn from the animals what it is we need to become better people. May it be so. For the animals, this is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. Thanks for listening.